been a big month.
Smoke weed every day.
All right, this is Pure Decking for Thursday, January the 5th, the current year. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and making fun of people who use the current year as a reason. I'm Morps, and tonight I have RU486. What is up, man?
Not much, apart from the sky.
We have the BSV.
Hello.
And Madman. Madman, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking an old Fizzy Wiggle.
I'm drinking
the hell
tea.
Is that? And when did it become 1943?
It is a winter brew from Sam Adams. And it's always the current year, are you? The current year might be 1943.
I forgot to ask, BSV, what are you drinking?
Carbonated sugar water.
Ah, going for the gut rot. Are you? What do you drink? Oh, sorry, BSV, go ahead.
After a while, your stomach just turns into a iron cast that not much hurts it.
Or tumors, whatever.
Or the soda eats its way out of you. One or the other.
I'm going with Darwinism here. Either it'll kill me or make me stronger. One of the two. I think that's how it works.
If it gives you superpowers, I want to know the brand name.
What are you drinking, are you?
I would usually make a joke about water at this point, but since I nearly overdosed on water last year, I'm drinking nothing.
Just not taking the risk.
I am not taking the risk.
How everyone needs water intoxication every so often.
My doctor literally told me not to drink alcohol, so I'm not been drinking, but less, so tea. Anyways.
You'd be surprised what my doctor and my wife say I can't do.
Well, it's not, in my case, it's not so much can't as shouldn't.
Yep.
Because I've already proved that I certainly can. But, Yeah,
it's pretty much like an agreement or a euler on the internet. I just fucking agree and walk away.
So, anyways, month off. It was kind of good. Forgot how to work most of the stream, apparently. But other than that, actually, it wasn't. The first couple of weeks were not very great. Nuts. And that's why we started the hiatus, and then the holiday hit. And it's just like, okay, fuck. So, anybody wondering, I had a couple of weeks of hell and then a vacation. So, and actually, I might probably miss a show, maybe the first two shows in February, because I've got something else coming up. So, yeah, well, you know, early year and just not very much going on, so what are you going to do, right?
But, pretty much it.
Unless you guys want to do decking while I'm not here, wouldn't be the first time.
I don't know if any of us remember how to operate the thing, although...
Oh, I'm sure I can get somebody
set up. Probably changed it a lot since any of us operated it, too.
It's not that different from when Big ran it. I think it's the same... It might be the same install of Windows. It's a similar setup. The mix looks a lot different because I put a better skin on it, but other than that... It's not that hard. It's easier to work, truth is. So,
well, we may play with it.
We may play with it. Things Madman first said when he discovered his dick. Anyways. So, first story up for discussion today is from RT. You know, that fantastic purveyor of fake news, or whatever they're calling, you know, competition in the mainstream media these days. Isn't that great? You can actually define your competition as fake news. I mean, seriously, that's what they're doing.
It's going to be a long fucking year again, isn't it?
It is.
Has it been printed or put on broadcast media? It must be fake.
This is going to be another long-ass fucking year, man.
The dying throes... Or wait, let's get the quote right. The throes of a dying media. I'm pretty sure the newspapers were talking about how horrible news on TV and radio was when that was taking over. So...
Perpetual cycle.
Oh, yeah. So, this story's from RT. Amazon denies police Echo data sought in murder case warrant. So, Alexa, the voice of Amazon's Echo, not only always listens, but it also retains the right to remain silent. Really?
The right to remain silent trumped when you get a warrant for the shit you have.
No, you always have the right to remain silent, but if they have a warrant for your shit, you don't get to say no, do you?
No, well, you can contest the warrant and not talk about it.
You can contest the warrant, but that's a expensive proposition. Let's see. Amazon reportedly will not be handing over its recordings to the Bentonville Police Department after a warrant was issued in relation to a murder. The tech industry news site The Information is reporting that based on court documents, Amazon is refusing to share audio recordings and other data from the Echo belonging to James Andrew Bates, again, a murderer with three names, because that you always have to have that. They always have to have the full three names when somebody's accused of murder, who is charged with murdering Victor Collins in November 2015. Collins' body was discovered in the Bates Hotel. Collins' body was discovered in the Bates hot tub in Bentonville, Arkansas, and authorities have since pursued information stored on multiple smart devices found on Bates' property. Amazon did, however, release to police Bates' account information and purchase history, while law enforcement said they have obtained some information from their physical confiscation of the Echo device, according to The Information. You have an expectation of privacy in your home, and I have a big problem that law enforcement can use the technology that advances our quality of life against us, said defense attorney Kimberly Weber told The Information. What police are looking for is any audio evidence that the Echo may have picked up, and as the smart device is programmed to send recordings to an Amazon cloud after a wake word is spoken in its vicinity, such as Alexa, even if Bates never intended to use Echo, police could get lucky, and it's possible the device could mistakenly begin transmitting audio from Bates' home if a sound close to a wake word was made. Police sought to obtain anything and everything Bates' Echo had sent to Amazon's cloud, but now that Amazon is reportedly acting in the name of customer privacy, the company's own policy and practices may come under the spotlight. Amazon Echo is said to always be listening for wake words, but purportedly erases what it hears from its memory once it determines the sounds were not meant for its purposes. So, well, here's the thing. Amazon didn't say, yeah, we don't have anything to give you. They just said no. That customer privacy, our policy trumps your warrant. Which, actually, I have no idea how that plays out legally.
The way that plays out is contempt of court.
Yeah. I'm assuming it doesn't, because the police here actually did the right thing. They got a warrant. They went to a judge and said, we want the data. You know, there's been a murder. They got a warrant. And there were other articles about this. I didn't go hunt them down, but I heard some other summaries where they actually got the water usage from the smart meter. And the guy used like 5 gallons of water in like 3 in the morning from the back hose, backyard hose. So they assumed that's where he was washing evidence away.
My car, sir. I was washing my car.
At 3 in the morning? Well, some people are weird.
I take a lot of methamphetamine, Your Honor.
But, yeah, they issued a warrant for the Echo, and Amazon's refusing. And I'm wondering, one, is Amazon trying to be – are they trying to not scare people away from using Echo for any number of reasons? Possibly that they've got amazing amounts of data off the damn thing that they'd have to disclose. Two, do they really just not have anything? Because Echo does like it says and doesn't send anything to Amazon if it's not – you know, meant for Amazon, which would be kind of cool if it actually was that smart. Pretty sure the processor in these things are these lightweight ARM things that are in your cell phone, so I don't know how good the speech recognition would actually be on that, you know what I mean? They usually send it off to the cloud to do the speech recognition. Yeah, your iPhone does not have enough horsepower to do Siri. That's sending it all off to servers at Apple's data center, just FYI. But there have been people who've done packet captures of Alexa because they've opened up a bunch of APIs for it, and people have written different applications and, you know, hook it into the home automation and other stuff like that, so you can just walk in and, you know, give it Star Trek computer commands and have things happen in your house. But which actually, that'd be kind of badass. But at the same time, you still have to deal with all, everything you say in the vicinity of the damn thing goes up to Amazon servers, right? So you're bugging your house.
I want those files.
They have
hours of listening entertainment.
They have something, because if they have nothing, they would release it, because then it's a PR wonderful gift to them. They can say, look, we attempt to help the cops when they ask us and go through legitimate channels, like getting a warrant. But unfortunately, we are so concerned with your privacy, we don't actually keep our recordings of you.
But that's not what they said.
Yeah, they said, we're not giving it to you, which means they have something. Because it will look really bad when they hand over, I don't know, 10,000 hours of him fapping.
Oh, God. So they're moaning out the names of My Little Pony characters.
Okay.
Oh,
so
Rainbow Dash.
I didn't actually know any of the names, Madman. That's why I said it the way I did. Why did you say that? Now I know one of their names. Damn it.
And you'll never think of that name the same way again.
No, I won't.
He murdered a dude in a hot tub at around midnight. Yeah, there was more than beers and friendly chat going on.
Yeah, I'm imagining if you murder somebody in a hot tub at midnight that there's probably more evidence than whatever was on the Echo. You know, like a body.
Well, just
and
saying.
And whatever was in that filter of the hot tub.
Yeah. No, maybe he was washing the filter out with that 5 gallons of water at 3 a.m.
Well, sir, we went through the filter of the hot tub. We found some My Little Pony dolls and a condom. Why am I assuming this guy is some horrible pedophile?
Because he murdered somebody. Dude, he owns one of those vacuous pieces of crap from Amazon. Who can't just go to their laptop and type in what they want?
That's true. I type faster than I talk anyways. I don't know about you guys.
I find this the most useless shit ever to have in your house.
Unless you order so much from Amazon that you just need to be able to yell toilet paper at the top of your lungs so they could get...
Well, as far as I know, Amazon doesn't have instant drone delivery yet, so...
In some parts of London, yes, they do.
Alexa, send toilet paper. I'm trapped in the bathroom.
He would knock on the door, and the drone drops off the toilet paper.
Damn it!
I could see Alexis being good for someone who's housebound or bedridden or something like that, but if you're an able individual, get your fat ass off the couch and go over and type.
You know, smartphone isn't the hardest thing in the world to use either, and you can talk to most of those too. I think they really were trying to recreate the Star Trek computer when they started marketing this thing, though, so... Anyways...
I'm sorry, I just think it's a useless device.
Well, it's a useless device that may have got some evidence of a murder, and Amazon has decided not to hand it over to the cops.
That's just the weird thing.
How much trouble are they going to get into, if any?
Well, they'll obviously bring their own lawyers into it and start to... start the back and forth, because they're going to try to contest the warrant somehow. But
this will end up a Supreme Court case.
You can contest the warrant, but during that contesting of the warrant, the cops still have the evidence. It's just, if you win the contesting, then that evidence can't be used at trial. They didn't hand the evidence over, so that's contempt in addition to whatever else they're attempting to do. I just finally want a judge to have the balls to just issue a warrant for the president of a company because their company is in contempt of court.
That'd be interesting to watch.
That would teach corporations, if you're served with a warrant, you comply. You still contest it the way everyone else contests it, but there's no, we're waiting for your schedule, you're on ours.
Well, and not only that, but if that was the case, you'd encourage a lot more companies not to keep all this crazy amounts of shit they keep on people, because then it becomes a privacy issue. I mean, that's, my VPN provider markets that they don't keep logs. So, you know, that's a selling point when you're dealing with people who are actually concerned about their privacy. Now, I guess if you're buying a microphone that's going to listen, you know, to your house 24/7 in case you happen to want a service from Amazon, you're probably not all that concerned about privacy. But, I mean, I don't know, fuck. It seems like it could go such a different way, and we all know it won't. We all know I'm just kind of opining for a future that'll never happen here. You know, where companies, like, you know, take privacy as a marketing campaign and don't keep shit so they're not subject to warrants. And no, we know that's never going to happen. You can dream, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can dream.
So, speaking of the government fucking over companies and possibly bringing in the president... The FTC has charged D-Link for putting consumers' privacy at risk due to the inadequate security of its computer routers and cameras. This probably has more to do with the Mirai botnet than anything. The Federal Trade Commission filed a complaint against the Taiwan-based computer networking equipment manufacturer D-Link Corporation and its U.S. subsidiaries, alleging that inadequate security measures taken by the company left its wireless routers and internet cameras vulnerable to hackers and put U.S. consumers' privacy at risk. The complaint is filed in the District of North California, or in the Northern District of California. The FTC charged that D-Link failed to take responsibility, reasonable steps to secure its routers and IP cameras, potentially compromising sensitive computer information, including live video audio feeds from the D-Link cameras. The complaint filed today is part of the... What's today? Oh, today. Yeah, January 5th. The complaint filed today is part of the FTC efforts to protect consumers' privacy and security in the Internet of Things. This includes cases in which the agency has brought against ASUS, TrendNet, and others. Hackers are increasingly targeting consumer routers and IP cameras, and the consequences for consumers can include device compromise and exposure of their sensitive personal information, said Jessica Rich, director of the FTC's Bureau of Consumer Protection. When manufacturers tell consumers that their equipment is secure, it's critical that they take the necessary steps to make sure that's true. According to the complaint, D-Link promoted the security of its routers on the company website, which include materials headlined Easy to Secure and Advanced Network Security, but despite the claims made by D-Link, the FTC alleged the company failed to take steps to address well-known and easily preventable security flaws, such as hard-coded login credentials integrated into the camera software, such as the username and password both being guessed.
Oh.
Software flaw known as command injection that could allow remote attackers to take control of consumers' routers, mishandling a private key code used to sign D-Link's software, leaving users' login credentials for D-Link's mobile apps unsecured in clear readable text on their mobile devices, even though there's free software available to secure the information. So, blah, 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 blah. I'm not actually sure how I feel about this. On one hand, I like the idea that they're taking companies to task for not doing security correctly. On the other hand, I don't know that I want the freaking government to be the arbiter of what's considered secure and what's not.
Yeah, we all know they're secure, right?
Oh, yeah.
You could... when they said hard-coded, so you couldn't change the username and password?
That is so much more common than you think, my man, believe me.
Mm. Okay, because I would say that is a flaw. I can understand...
It is a flaw.
It's,
oh,
showing
it's fucking
up
wrong,
guessed,
dude.
Guessed, but if you're making it, I can't change the password, then I can't secure it because it's coming with a default password.
You can secure it, but the way you have to secure it is by putting something in front of it to intercept the login. Usually with IP camera, so, okay, we all know what I do for a day job. If it's an IP camera and you're setting up a network of cameras, you put it behind a firewall. You keep it on its own network. And I mean separate from your workstation machines, too, by the way. And then you set up a multi-home server between the two so that you can actually get to the cameras and see the feeds. It's a pain in the ass to do it that way because you have to buy another router and you have to actually know how to configure networking. But if you want to secure your cameras, that's how you do it. And, oh, by the way, you're trusting that router to actually be secure. So apparently,
by the time you finish doing it, Madman, you're wearing 8 condoms and she's already left.
I'm just thinking, I understand it's going to be a bit harder than a lot of people think, just because a lot of people don't think to do it. But I don't believe you need a completely separate network. If they if you can just password each individual camera on your network.
So, obviously you haven't looked into embedded device security like I have. Holy shit, is this code bad. They're making the same mistakes like Windows 95 and early Unix machines were making on their devices. Like, a lot. They're relying on things like JavaScript to provide security. You know, the thing that I can just open up the code in my own browser, change it, and rerun the site. Like I may have done for a certain Air Force hand-eye coordination test to troll some people to get them to play that game for several hours longer trying to get a score that was actually impossible. sorry, are you? Anyway.
Oh, it's amusing, dude.
Yeah, I didn't go for some retarded score either. I went for one that was just realistic enough to make you think I was almost a superhuman. it's like, just, you know, you think if you just try a little faster, you'll get that score. No, I cheated. Nope. I cheated my ass off. the thing is, there's a lot of these devices that do. They rely on JavaScript to secure them. So you can usually get into the administrative interface by simply disabling JavaScript in the web browser. Or if you understand JavaScript, you can just, you know, edit the code live on the page in the web browser's debugger and get into the administrative interface anyways. Whoever made the Nighthawk line of routers, they have a flaw in them right now where even though you say the administrative interface should only be available on the internal side of the network, it's still available on the public side of the network, and you can't turn it off because the option doesn't work. And they're starting, you know, they just started releasing firmware for that. So the problem here is that there's such shit code running on these things that they're impossible to secure. Fundamentally, you are correct, Madman. You should be able to lock this device down and use it on the freaking public internet. And, you know, as long as nobody else can guess your password, you're fine. That's just not reality.
Then I think they are liable for false advertisement if they are advertising as secure. I don't think the government's overstepping by going this route. I do think they might be overstepping if they mandate what secure is. They can just say, you're not... this product isn't as advertised, you're defrauding these people.
Well, and the things they're calling out are things security people have been calling out about, well, most home routers and cameras for years. So they could easily be saying, look, we're just going to industry experts and they're telling us these devices aren't secure, therefore we're going after you. So you're right, they may not be overstepping their bounds. I don't know if this is going to be a trend or not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you come into the grounds of the honest mistake, because writing secure code is hard, because you have to think of most of the ways that that code could be ran, how could it be exploited, and what could somebody do to it once they get their hands on it. Because that's the thing with like a $60 router. If I know that my target is using a $60 router and I want to know how to get into the damn thing, I'm just going to go down to Best Buy or hop on Amazon or say, hey, Alexa, send me the same damn router. I don't actually have one of those things. Can you imagine if I did, just doing decking, I'd have like crates of shit to my house.
That would be awesome.
What is all this? Why did I get a GIMP suit and a rubber hose? What the fuck? It's like, oh no, you went to the bathroom and we figured out the headset was close enough to the microphone on the thing.
The helium tank arrives in 3 days.
Oh, all the home circumcision dolls.
And if you put those three items together.
It's like, Alexa, order 100 home circumcision. You have the thing going, what? The fuck is wrong with it? It's like the FBI shows up at your door with your Amazon order. It's like, it's like, what happened? I think I left in the headset near Alexa again.
Sir, I'm going to need to see your recycling bin. We just got to prove that you were drunk when you were ordering this.
Wait, recycling bin? Am I supposed to have one of those? You're coming with us. Damn it.
Yeah. Crimes Against Feminism.
Fuck.
Hey, dystopian future.
Are you that hurt? You just derailed me.
I know.
That's
my mandate for this year.
Fuck with me as much as I used to fuck with the intro to Eye of Nothing?
No, just derail everything. I am fake news. Be the news. I am fake news.
All right. Next article here. From themerkle.com. New Chinese law on cybersecurity will increase censorship and data surveillance. Because, you know, China's so good at this. Let's see. Network operators and internet service providers also follow under the newly proposed regulatory regime. And wait, I'm skipping ahead. Ah, I see what I did. Okay. The Chinese government passed a new set of regulations that will tighten existing policies on censorship and data surveillance. From June 1 and onward, outflow of any kind of personal and important data will be restricted and censored by key information infrastructure operators. Any kind of personal important data. Network operators and internet service providers also fall under the newly proposed regime and as a result are obligated to impose new security and data protection systems. Local authorities and lawmakers stated that personal information falls under the newly introduced regulatory framework and thus needs to be restricted. For businesses or network operators to send both online and offline personal data to recipients of China, they are required. Wow. Okay, so if you're sending data into or out of China, you have to get permission from the National Cyberspace Administration and State Council in a security assessment. Holy, there's a name. The National Cyberspace Administration and State Council.
So are these just network providers? Or each individual computer that's hammering China has to get an okay?
Systems. I would assume they're going to do it at a systems level.
Okay.
So they would make Facebook do it, not every individual machine in Facebook, because that would be retarded. Especially if with the way you do modern systems. So if anybody's not aware, the way you do modern data structure infrastructure is you virtualize everything, and then you use either virtual machines or Docker and Ansible or Chef, and you script up how to build your systems, and you then have monitoring load balancers, basically, that go, oh, this system's getting hammered. Let me spin up 20 copies of it, kind of thing. And you got a big database and file storage systems on the back end to feed all this. But so if you actually had to get every single individual system certified, you would just basically run the internet into the ground quickly because you couldn't do it. However, the announcement of China's regulatory regime on cybersecurity became controversial after users realized the category of personal information described by the Chinese lawmakers cover virtually any kind of data, ranging from personal biometric information to financial. The official document reads, personal information is defined as including all kinds of information recorded electronically or through other means that, taken alone or together with other information, is sufficient to identify a natural person's identity, including but not limited to full names, birth date, identification numbers, personal biometric information, address, telephone number, and so forth. However, the types of information that might constitute important data is currently unclear. Everything. Anything to do with identity. You have to have the transfer approved. So,
I'm just wondering at what ends is this going to do?
Well, what this is doing is they're basically telling Facebook, if you're coming into China, we get to see everything. That's what it is. They're telling social networks, Google, they're telling Facebook, they're telling any major web-based operations, if you're coming into China, we get to see it. Anything. Mm-hmm. Everything.
Everything our people are doing, we're looking at. Public-facing or not.
If the data is flowing into anything in China, we get to see it. Damn.
Good luck with that.
Ooh, I wonder if they get to see the Facebook users in, let's say, England.
If the person in England is talking to somebody in China, or somebody in China is going to look at the Facebook profile of somebody in England, then yeah, they'd get to see it under that. So
that's
a game
changer.
If Facebook was dumb enough to go in and agree to that, all you would need is some employees who are curious about various Facebook users in other countries to just basically just start copying everything.
Yeah, I can sort of see this going the NSA way, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Are you? I think it's exactly what they want to do.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway. Kudos for being out in the open with it?
Kinda. Yeah, at least we're telling you we're going to fuck you over. So.
Well, there'll never be a Chinese Snowden, let's just say that.
Oh, there'll be a few attempts. But they won't call them the Chinese Snowden. They'll call them John Doe 456, who was found in the canal.
Yeah. Just another man bobbing in the Yellow River.
It was a suicide. He jumped off a bridge.
Hey, he wanted to get up close with the Three Gorges Dam.
Well, they found his body in a hot tub, and a recording of Alexa, you know, had the suicide notes. So,
he was screaming, "Hillary, don't."
Oh, God.
Oh, God, she could be mayor of New York City.
Oh, God, Madman. I was having a joke. Didn't mean to... And this is why we can't have nice things.
Smoke weed every day.
Every day. Twice a day, some days.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck.
All right, now that we've gotten that out of our systems, I'm just going to start playing with... sound effects every time.
I think it's interesting that China's going with such an open book, just going, hey, you come in, this is what you're expecting. This is what we expect. I don't think they're going to be flexible either.
No, they won't.
Well, I think it sucks that they're doing it, but honestly, a government should be open with its people on what it's doing.
That's not something the Chinese have ever really been accused of doing before.
Being open with their people?
Yeah.
I mean, ever since the Great Leap Backward, they've been completely open and honest with their people. I don't know what you're talking about.
So, next article up here is from lifars.com. So President-elect Donald Trump, no computer is safe.
What, from Trump?
I didn't know. Okay, grab it by the hard drive.
Yeah.
President-elect Donald Trump has expressed skepticism about the security of electronic communications, stating that no computer is safe from hacking.
He may have said something intelligent.
I don't know that he's wrong. I don't know that, it's useful, but
a bit more paranoid, but it's not wrong.
Well, the only thing a computer is safe from hacking is if you separate from all networks and cement it in a layer of concrete, but
You bury it in the backyard, and then you hope that it might be secure.
This is why he looks like a moron, because occasionally he says something smart.
Yeah, but here's what he... Trump, who rarely uses email or computer, stated, if you have something really important, write it out and have it delivered by courier, the old-fashioned way. Because I'll tell you what, no computer is safe. The CIA and the FBI are both in agreement about pointing fingers at Russian state-sponsored hacking behind the hacking of the DNC. Yeah, because, Podesta clicked a fucking phishing link. Yeah, the Russian hackers. And it was probably leaked by that guy they killed early on,
they haven't found the body yet.
No, they found the body. They just thought it was a mugging. They just said, it's a mugging gone wrong. He was probably a Bernie supporter who was pissed off when he figured out what they were doing. So he leaked it all.
Yeah.
Anyways. Russian hackers are accused of having done so in order to favor the election towards Trump. To this, Trump expressed doubts about such claims from U.S. law enforcement agencies, stating, I wish I could impersonate Trump's voice better. That would, because that'd be fun to do. But I don't think I can do it, so I'm not going to try. I just want them to be sure, because it's a pretty serious charge, and I want them to be sure. And if you look at the weapons of mass destruction, that was a disaster, and they were wrong. So I want them to be sure. And it's just interesting that Trump is saying, don't use computers, go by courier. Which, to be fair, if you're unsure of the security of that particular form of communication, that probably is the right way to go.
Dude, I've totally got it. I've got a solution for Trump. Set up your own email server.
In your bathroom.
Yes!
Completely secure. You control it then.
Totally safe.
Fine.
But he's not wrong. Like,
depending TCP, on what it is, then yeah, I could see courier. It's still not going to be practical for all the communications that go through the government.
Well, that's not very true.
That's why we need to go back to carrier pigeon.
Somebody call Western Union. Their ship just came in.
We're back in business.
Even if they do the whole old bank system of here's the digital tape, we're just going to, you know, move it by truck once a day, that's still kind of annoying.
Can you still do singing telegrams? Is that still a thing?
Oh, God, I want to... if it's not, we need to restart this. Because I want a congressional page singing to Trump some report now.
Send a singing telegram.
I would like to see this, Madman. And I'm willing to put $10 in. Make it happen.
So, okay, it's in Nashville. That's the only place I see that you can still do it. American... Oh, here it is. Anywhere nationwide. AmericanSingingTelegrams.com. Oh, they have costumes.
Oh. Dude, no, can I dress it up as a Mexican jihadi? Please.
Let's see. Phonegrams start at $29. Unbeatable quality from Lady Gaga, Cher, to Elvis. God, that's just having them call you. Order form. Here we go. Let's see. Call payment by settled by phone. No cancellation after payment is made. After you complete the form, call. So it generates an email. Then you call them. It doesn't say anywhere what the price is, but they show somebody in Marilyn Monroe outfit, the chicken suit. Yeah. This is from 2006. There's no guarantee that this thing's actually still active.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it would be, but...
Call this number, and if they're busy, call this number. Oh, shit, I was kind of hoping to find a pricing on here somewhere, because if it's like less than $100, it's totally worth it to... Next time, you know, my boss pisses me off. Anyways,
Marilyn Monroe singing telegram in the office.
You're a douchebag. They probably won't do anything too explicit.
Probably not.
Well, we wanted to get a singing telegram, but all we could find was this prostitute. So, you know, toothless lap dance there or whatever the hell.
Win-win if you strap a GoPro to her head.
Oh,
I just thought of a paid website now for porn.
Yes, you did.
That is one weird fucked up fetish. It's going to be out there, though.
I want to see things from the view of the stripper as she's giving uncomfortable men lap dances.
Oh, man.
Now that you said it, it has to be out there.
Right this way, sir. 4chan is right over here.
There's one of the ones for I Never. You know what I mean? Watches Troy in the corner and carefully takes a drink, you know, dead-eyeing everyone.
Oh, I just thought of a VR game now. try to catch the spook. You got to figure out who looks the most uncomfortable in a strip club.
Oh, man.
All right, next article is from The Guardian, because, you know, they're so reliable. Japanese company replaces office workers with artificial intelligence. You know, yet again cementing Ghost in the Shell here. A future in which human workers are replaced by machines is about to become reality at an insurance firm in Japan, where more than 30 employees are being laid off and replaced with an artificial intelligence system that can calculate payouts to policyholders. Fukoa Mutual Life Insurance believes it will increase productivity by 30% and see a return on its investment in less than 2 years. The firm said it would save about 140 million yen a year after the 2 million yen AI system.
They're sticking a phone tree in to say, this is how much your claim check is, sir. Where do you want me to mail it to you?
They're spending a lot of money on that, too, because, I mean, that's like a Python script. Anyways, maintaining it would cost about 15 million yen a year. The move is unlikely to be welcomed, however, by 34 employees who will be made redundant by the end of the March. The system is based on IBM's Watson Explorer, which, according to the tech firm, possesses cognitive ability that can think like a human, enabling it to analyze and interpret all of your data. It's not Skynet, it's Watson. Interpret all your data, understanding unstructured text, images, audio, and video. The technology will be able to read tens of thousands of medical certificates and factor in the length of hospital stays, medical histories, and any surgical procedures before calculating payouts, according to Manashimi Shimboom. I don't think I'm saying those names correctly. While the use of AI will drastically reduce the time needed to calculate Fukoa Mutual's payouts, which reportedly totaled 132,000 during the current financial year, these sums will not be paid until they have been approved by a member of staff, the newspaper said. Japan's shrinking aging population, coupled with its prowess in robot technology, makes it a prime testing ground for AI. Now I'm imagining the protesters from was it Appleseed or what was the?
You're talking about the
The ones where they're out there protesting and crucifying robots and shit.
Armitage the Third.
It was Armitage. Okay, thank you. That's it was one of those. I want to say that was another Shimomura, but I don't know that it was. Anyways, but yeah, that's what I'm envisioning right now. And you know, I could see an entire insurance firm that's basically a phone tree in like one guy, because it's all automated banking stuff, right? They issue their claims. The system goes through and does basically all the math. There's no disputing it. It's just what it pays out, and that's it. You know? I could totally see that actually working. It's like you have the owner and the scripts, and that's it. But, yeah. According to a 2015 report by Nomura Research Institute, nearly half of all jobs in Japan could be performed by robots by 2035.
Good luck to those kids starting school this year.
Daiichi Life Insurance has already introduced a Watson-based system to assess payments, although it has not cut staff members, and Japan Post Insurance is interested in a similar setup, Manachini said. AI could soon be playing a role in the country's politics. Next month, the Economy, Trade, and Industry Ministry will introduce AI on a trial basis to help civil servants draft answers for ministries during cabinet meetings and parliamentary sessions. The robots are going to tell the humans what to build.
Oh, no. This is responses to inquiries. It's the better form letter.
So... anyways, they go on to question it a little bit at the end there, but basically this is going to happen.
there's no brakes on that train, man. It's coming.
It's coming.
Like, look at all those people who wanted $15 an hour. What does McDonald's do? Replace everything with computer servers.
And frankly, now you just have really the dude in the back flipping a burger.
Oh, that'll be replaced with one of those 3D food printers before too much longer. Pretty soon, fast food places will be the kiosks from Idiocracy that occasionally don't give you food and then report you to the police for failure to feed your children.
Big ass fries.
Next article is from bleepingcomputer.com. MongoDB administrators are about to be taught a hard lesson in database management practices, as the number of hackers that are now involved with DB hijacking attempts have gone from 1 to 3. I'm pretty sure there's more than 3 of them, and they're more expected to join in the upcoming days. This Monday, Bleeping Computer broke the news that a hacker group identified as Hakari One or Hakari HARAK1R1 was taking over MongoDB databases left connected to the internet without a password on the admin account. Fucking hell. Okay, for anybody who doesn't know, MongoDB is a think it's an alternative for like an Elasticsearch or one of these, another one of these NoSQL servers. So when people set them up, they don't realize that it's a fucking database that needs a password. Actually, a lot of these NoSQL servers, they don't think that they're going to be put on the internet. They think they're going to be put on like a private network with a DMZ kind of connection to the web server kind of thing, or like an app. Like you're supposed to write an interface for them that has an API in it kind of thing. So they're not really designed with security in mind at all, and I guess people are just putting them on the internet. Awesome. The group was, and there's no password, so this isn't really hacking. This is just being an ass. The group was exporting the database's content and replacing all tables with one named Warning that contained a ransom note asking the owners of the hacked database to pay 0.2 Bitcoin into a Bitcoin wallet. So it's about $200. At the time of the article, Hikari One had hijacked just over 1,800 MongoDB databases, and 11 victims have paid the ransom in order to recover their files. As time went by, they hijacked more databases, reaching at one point over 3,500 MongoDB instances and peaking at over 8,500. The fact that there are more than 8,500 Mongo databases on the internet without a fucking password is terrifying. I mean, that's just sad. So, among them, the hackers have managed to make a high-profile victim in Emory Healthcare, a U.S.-based healthcare organization with no password on their database on the internet.
No. Oh, are you fucking kidding me?
How?
They took more than 200,000 medical records, according to the MacKeeper Security Research Team. Well, MacKeeper. Really? I thought MacKeeper was one of those joke security programs. Are they a real one?
Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
A second group has joined, and now there's a third group doing it. Paying the ransom doesn't mean you get your data back. According to the lines that allowed them to track the activity of the three groups are slowly blurring as these groups are starting using more varied messages and different Bitcoin addresses. I don't know why you're not using a different Bitcoin address for everyone. They're free to generate. They're easy to make. Why wouldn't you automate it and have a ton of different... Right, they're not very smart. Anyways, additionally, a new variation of the attacks. The hackers don't appear to bother copying the hacked database. They just delete everything. People, backups. Turf wars over MongoDBs. Backups and passwords. I don't even need to finish reading this. This is so fucking stupid.
That is truly painful.
200,000 medical records.
The total of MongoDBs on Shodan is still growing, and Zumbai shows over 90,000 open servers. The AWS security team is being flooded with help requests, you don't say. Jervis added, who himself has been busy providing aid to companies that have been hit by the attacks. How many companies? Oh my god, I thought some of my security problems were bad. This is retarded. I can at least get them to put passwords. They may not be very good ones, but I can at least get them to put passwords on our servers.
This is why everything's going to AI, man.
I'm going to assume that the servers that aren't supposed to be internet-facing also aren't, so that's always good.
When I find them, I raise hell about it. I pissed off some people off a couple of weeks ago. It was beautiful. There was a whole system that was not supposed to be internet-facing, and it was. And some people were using it, and I turned it off. And they was mad. It's like, oh no, we had a business process built around that. Well, I'm sorry to hear that because we're not turning it back on. We'll help you build your process around something else, but I'm not turning that back on. That's a hell of a security risk. Again. Oh god, I pissed him off. And my boss was on my side. He wasn't happy about it, but he was on my side because he didn't disagree with me. But it was one of those things that was like. He had wished we had looked into it a little bit more before we turned it off.
Well, you were correct. Like, and you were technically correct.
They weren't supposed to be using it. What am I supposed to do? Like, well, you could have reached out to them ahead of time. I could have, which point they would have said the same thing. No, we're using that. And when I say, well, I need to turn it off, and they just say no and hang up the phone, what am I supposed to do? Just let them continue being wrong?
That's why you rub the dog's nose in it the first time. Teaches them a lesson.
Next one up is from Hollywood Reporter, and it's hilarious. Self-proclaimed inventor of email has filed a defamation lawsuit against TechDirt's Mike Manchnick. TechDirt founder Mike Manchnick will be going toe-to-toe in court with Charles Hardner, the Hollywood attorney who famously represented Hulk Hogan in the sex tape lawsuit that brought down Gawker. On Wednesday, Hardner's client, Shavia Ayyadurai, A-Y-Y-A-D-U-R-A-I, filed a $15 million libel lawsuit in Massachusetts against Mansnake, Leigh Brandon, and TechDirt parent company Flood64 Inc. over articles that doubted his claim to have invented email. He has previously sued Gawker in a lawsuit that many suspected was funded by Silicon Valley billionaire Peter Thiel. He recently, I'm just avoiding saying his name at this point because I have no idea how to say that, recently settled the claim for $750,000. He and Harder now have a new legal target. For TechDirt, Mansnick writes a wonky tech policy blog that has earned a loyal following for taking strong stances on issues like copyright, net neutrality, security issues, and other topics. His name provokes eye-rolling among many studio lawyers thanks to his frequently hostile attitude towards aggressive intellectual property actions. He was one of the noisiest antagonists to stop the or towards the Stop Online Piracy Act a few years ago. He's also credited with coining the term the Streisand effect to describe the phenomenon of how attempts to censor information, blah, 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 blah. Mansnick has been on the receiving end as many cease and desist demands throughout the years. He isn't shy about writing them, but writing about them, but has escaped most lawsuits until now. The guy who claimed to invent an email first takes issue with an article posted on September 2nd, 2014, headlined, "Why is Huffington Post running a multi-part series to promote the lies of a guy who pretends to invent an email?" The article in question accused the guy of perpetuating a fake story that he supposedly invented, of what he supposedly invented at the University of Medicine and Dentistry in New Jersey of 1978. By all accounts, it was a perfectly decent email system that allowed the UMDJNJ staff to send electronic messages, wrote Mansnick at the time. Further, no one doubts that in 1981 he registered the copyright on his program, which was called email. The problems are that, one, emails were invented long before 1978, and two, the copyright is merely on specific software code, not the idea of email. And while the guy may have invented, independently recreated the basics of email and needed added a nice feature, none of his work was even remotely related to what later became the standards of email. What's most sickening about this is that as part of his new PR campaign, the guy is ridiculously arguing that the reason no one believes him isn't because he's simply wrong, but because they can't stand to believe that a dark-skinned immigrant kid, 14 years old, invented email. And that it was done in one of the poorest cities in the United States rather than a famous university. So he wrote a messaging system, and apparently it was a decent one, but it just didn't have anything to do with modern email, so he can't claim he invented email. He can claim he invented that messaging system, which he named email.
But he's claiming it's racist. The caveat to his argument is, I'm black and I was born in a poor area, so I need the money.
I'm confused, because isn't that his picture at the top? That
No, that's the lawyer. No, that's Matt Mansnick. That's the guy from TechDirt.
Oh.
So let's just have some fun here. Let's just take the last person's version of the truth. Wikipedia email. Let's just see. Email on Wikipedia. Electronic mail or email method, blah, 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 blah. Originally ASCII only, internet email was extended by MIME extensions. Modern history of internet email reaches into the early ARPANET. Standards for encoded email were published as early as 1973, RFC 651, let's read that correctly, RFC 561. An email message sent in the early 1970s looks very similar to basic email sent today. Origin. AutoDEN Network, first operational in 1962, provided a message service between 1,350 terminals. Advanced Record System, host-based mail. So MIT wrote it in 1965. Looks like there was an administrative terminal system in 1962. Send message in 1971. That was local inter-user mail on a system that wasn't internet. Unix mail was written in 1972. Mail client written by Kurt Schuns for Unix in 1978. The email system written by the guy from the article, Shavai Ayara, in 1979. Yeah. Sorry, dude. Several people beat you to it. So.
But were they black-ish?
God, that hurt.
If not, they might not count.
Anyways, 2016, so, the Contra.
Inventing stuff is similar to racism. It doesn't count if a white person did it.
Nope, it's racist if you don't believe this guy invented email. He invented a program named email. Nobody disputes that. He just didn't invent the modern, what everybody considers to be email. Since truth is a defense to allegations of defamation, the history of the invention of email obviously will be explored in litigation. Mansnick will also get to square off against Harder, who is currently representing Melania Trump in a defamation suit against the parent company of Daily Mail and has a notable view of the First Amendment and blah, 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 politics, politics, politics. Didn't respond to comment. Besides defamation, Android is claiming international interference with prospective economic advantage and international infliction of emotional distress.
It does show that a lawyer will take a case if you put enough zeros on the check.
Well... Anyways, it's just one of those things. It's just like, really, dude? I mean, next article is from NVIDIA. Actually, it's a product announcement, but it's an interesting one. So, worth discussing, or at least starting a discussion around.
I thought it was cool, and I'm looking forward to more of it.
Yeah, the AI car computer for self-driving vehicles. NVIDIA DRIVE PX2 is the open AI car computing platform that enables automakers and their Tier 1 suppliers to accelerate production of automated and autonomous vehicles. It scales from a palm-sized energy-efficient model for auto cruise capabilities to a powerful AI supercomputer capable of autonomous driving. A new single processor configuration of DRIVE PX2 for auto cruise functions, which includes highway automated driving and HD mapping, consumes just 10 watts of power, plus it enables vehicles to use deep neural networks to process data from multiple cameras and sensors. DRIVE PX2 can understand in real time what's happening around the vehicle, precisely locate itself on an HD map, and plan a safe path forward. It's the world's most advanced self-driving car platform, combining deep learning, sensor fusion, blah, blah, blah. Scalable architecture is available in a variety of configurations. So the reason this is cool, NVIDIA knows how to make a fucking chip. They've been doing it for years. They've been churning out supercomputers based around their graphics processors. I mean, the NVIDIA Tegra thing is real, and they sell supercomputers for doing high-end number crunching that are basically based off graphics cards, because they figured out the graphics cards they developed are really useful at doing other kinds of math besides just drawing polygons. Yep. So I truly believe that NVIDIA knows what they're doing, making a fucking chip. So if a company is going to make a good self-driving car, it's going to be a company that's been dealing with AI automation and large numbers of objects in a contained memory space. NVIDIA's been making games for years. They know how to handle this kind of shit.
I'm sort of hoping that it turns into the idea of, like, okay, I buy a cheap second-hand auto-drive car sort of thing, and it's got an older model computer in there, like a Gen 3 or Gen 4. I could get a brand-new NVIDIA off the shelf and plug and play. You know
so
what I mean?
So you're hoping cars become modular, sort of like PCs.
Yeah, I'm hoping that way. That's the only reason I'd ever get into self-drive technologies and things like that, is if I can open up and play with it.
Go ahead, please.
The whole plug-and-play for cars is nice, but I'm just seeing a chip for home robotics.
Oh, yeah. Didn't think of that.
Go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to say, if they can get a couple of different manufacturers on board, that would move to modular. Because right now, one reason everything's so different is each car manufacturer just has its own computer layout. If they all went to NVIDIA, then you could pull possibly a Ford computer and stick it into a Chevy Nova and not cause a fire or your fusible links to randomly blow.
Go ahead, BSV. I didn't mean to cut you off. Yeah. I thought you were done.
But yeah, just being able to have something that can drive a car, I'm pretty sure can easily be modified to have a robot move around and interact with stuff. Might tweak a bit more, but...
So, yeah. You know, I mean, I like NVIDIA stuff. I would hope they would get some more competition out of AMD to kind of force them. But NVIDIA hasn't pulled the Intel thing, because Intel, I don't know if anybody's noticed, but apparently their latest chips don't benchmark as good as their previous gens. They're making them more power efficient, but there's almost no performance increase.
Is this that European Union fucking rules coming in on power levels for PCs?
This is Intel's TikTok thing, where because they have no competition in the high-end desktop PC space, they get to proceed when they want to proceed. They're not fighting with AMD for the top dog position of a chip, because AMD hasn't put out a new chip in a long time, although they did just announce a new architecture. So hopefully AMD can come back and start smacking them around again. But, you know, because that's what spurned chips getting faster and faster for 15 years, I think, was AMD and Intel fighting each other.
Yeah.
But since AMD's kind of dropped off and Intel now dominates the high-end market, we haven't seen massive performance improvements anymore. So hopefully AMD comes back out. NVIDIA, though, on the other hand, as opposed to just saying, oh, well, we're not really getting a hell of a lot of competition out of AMD for graphics processors, instead of they've been making better graphics processors, but they've been doing work in supercomputing space and now automotive and some other areas. So at least NVIDIA isn't sitting on their laurels, they're expanding, whereas Intel seems to just be kind of sitting back and saying, no, we'll progress when we feel like it.
Yeah, I think self-drive car technology will really push along, you know, PCs and stuff like that as you get more powerful chips. And it'll definitely really help with the whole, I don't want to say a brand name, but I can't think of what to call it, augmented reality situation that we're finding ourselves in with VR.
Yeah.
Well, with the chips with Intel, could they just be reaching the physical limits of what chips can do?
Well, they thought they were, but, I mean, you got people overclocking these things up to 5-6 gigahertz, so, I mean... I don't know. So, I think we're due for... I think what's going to happen is we're going to see a new architecture soon.
Something big.
Well, what I mean is, like, you know, the old Commodores and, you know, Amigas and stuff like that, they were all 8-bit systems, and they were different 8-bit systems, but as a group, the old Apple PCs, too, they were 8-bit systems. And... when you think of a fairly modern desktop PC, you're usually thinking of a x86 32-bit system, or even like a early 16-bit system like a 486. And then, of course, your modern machines are mostly 64-bit, but you know some people still run 32-bit code on them. I think we're going to see a new architecture, like a Power or a Spark or something like that next to replace... you know, AMD 64-bit architecture, because AMD actually designed most of the 64-bit architecture that we use. One of the reasons AMD's even still in business, even though they sell a lot of server chips and a lot of low-end, mid-range, like business PC chips. But because AMD and Intel own various patents, they have agreements where they're paying each other various amounts of money for use of the patents just making chips, because of different chipset compatibilities and, you know, who owns what instruction set and shit like that, to the point that Linux still calls 64-bit AMD 64 architecture, which is kind of fun. So I think a new architecture is what we're going to see next as far as CPUs go, because right now, as opposed to the only way they're finding to really make them faster is to slap more cores on a chip and, you know, crank it up to the next level of gigahertz and...
I can't take any more heat. Stop.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. And I think that's why you see Intel going for efficiency now, is because if you make this round of chips more efficient, you can make the next round of chips where you get, you know, I don't know what, 8, 12, 16 cores on a chip, you know, a little bit more heat efficient. So,
yeah.
I don't know. But I think a new architecture is where it's going to be. Something probably closer to what NVIDIA has been doing with Tegra. Because that's interesting in that they're making these processors that are massively parallel, but the individual processors are not very complicated because they're only meant to do a handful of things. So, you know, they talk about the number of virtual... You go look at the number of virtual cores on your video card, it's, you know, in the hundreds. So... But each of those cores is like, you know, like a floating point math processor, and that's about it. So, like, that's all it really does. It doesn't have all these crazy instruction sets like the Intel, the x86 does. Although, I mean, you could make an argument that ARM is that next move, because that's, you know, the various ARMs that are used in cell phones, because they get a lot more done than you'd expect for their processor's clock. I don't know. Anyways, next story. Let's see. Okay, I'm just looking at the clock. We're going long. I don't care. This article is from thestate.com from Louisville, Kentucky. A fired Kentucky high school principal has admitted to seizing students' phones so he could steal nude images and trade them online, investigators said. Stephen Kyle Goodlett, 36, of Elizabethtown, was indicted Wednesday in Louisville on federal charges of possessing and transporting child pornography. Last month, he pleaded not guilty to 63 state felony child porn charges. And again, three names. Goodlett admitted to Kentucky State Police investigators that he has a pornography addiction and that as principal of LaRue County High School, he searched for nude pictures on phones confiscated from students. Said Department of Homeland Security Special Agent Bradley Oberhauser in a federal complaint. School Superintendent Sam Sanders announced in his firing a few days ago that Goodlett was arrested in his home in October, calling it an unprecedented situation. Plaintiffs, parents, and staff at the schools expressed shock. Shocked, I tell you.
Can you just go back real quick and verify? Did you say Homeland Security arrested him?
Yes, I did.
For child pornography, Homeland Security?
Department of Homeland Security Special Agent Bradley Oberhauser.
Wouldn't you think they'd be the FBI?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there, man.
Yeah, it's odd.
It's just a little weird.
So, investigation began in September after a 20-year-old woman learned that naked images she had taken for her boyfriend when she was 15 had been uploaded to a pornography trading website based in Russia.
Couldn't she be charged with production of child pornography?
She could be, but usually teenagers aren't charged with taking pictures of themselves.
They are here. She went to Elizabethtown Police, who sought federal help. This anonymous image board is used to anonymously post images online, but authorities determined that the IP address of the device that uploaded the images matches an account registered by Goodlett. After executing a search warrant, police found 60 examples of child porn on his devices. National Center for Missing and Exploited Children later identified images of the Elizabethtown woman as well as a naked girl aged 10 to 14 in his Dropbox account. Idiot. You do know Dropbox looks through that shit, right? they run algorithms against that stuff. Now, so anyways, the whole reason I want to talk about this article is he was confiscating phones from kids in high school, which is not out of the ordinary for teachers to do, I'm sure. But then he was going through the phones looking for nude pics. So don't keep nude pics on phones? Maybe there's the answer here?
I don't know any lesson to take away from this. Here's my 40-foot pole. Let's just push it out there and let somebody else find it. Face down, preferably.
But where else am I going to store the pic that my girlfriend sent me?
I guess.
Don't make child pornography.
I was just going to suggest not taking pictures of yourself naked on a cell phone, but, you know, hey.
Here's a pro tip. Don't want naked pictures of you out there? Don't take naked pictures.
That seems like logical reasoning there. That's, yeah. Nobody else want to hit that one with the 40-foot pole?
Nope. As far into it as I was willing to.
Yeah, it's face down. Let's just let it float.
Face down, let it hide the Body's face down to hide the hole. Okay. Let's
there
see.
You go.
Last article in the news is from Engadget, and you want to follow up with Cyberpunk. Google sued by U.S. government for not sharing employee salaries.
What? You don't need US to know how much the employees are making. That's one problem I have with the income tax.
U.S. Department of Labor is suing Google after the company declined to share employment data with the government. In its complaint, the department claims that Google refused to reveal employee salaries and benefits to the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs during a routine anti-discrimination audit. The OFCCP is now seeking a court order to force the tech giant to comply. With Google Systems helping government departments, the company is technically a federal contractor. This means that the tech firm legally has to share compliance data in order to prove it operates in accordance with equal employment laws. Google, however, claims that sharing such information is breach of privacy and could reveal confidential data. With the tech company claiming to have shared hundreds of thousands of other reports with the government, its reluctance to let the OFCCP see its employees' salaries is surprising. However, Google's record regarding employment diversity and equal opportunities isn't exactly stellar. A recent employment audit also revealed troubling information about tech company Palantir, which is accused of using an algorithm that discriminated against Asian applicants. That could just be a bug. If Google continues to refuse to cooperate, OFCCP has threatened to ask the court to cancel the company's current government contracts and prevent it from signing any new ones. So, you literally have a tech firm telling the government to get bent, and Google's actually big enough that they could potentially win that fight.
Yeah, get bent. If any of Google's employees are alleging that they're being discriminated against, they can bring a lawsuit. The government doesn't need to know how much they're getting paid.
Couldn't they just figure out, like, wouldn't it be on your income tax every year?
It would be, but technically they're not supposed to dig into the IRS records like that.
Technically, they're not meant to use the IRS to go after fucking opposition political parties as well, but they fucking do.
You're not wrong.
I'm just saying that they seem to have no issue fucking breaking the rules. It just sounds like a petulant child at this point. And then we show it the documents.
Not to rush through this last stuff, but I'm starting to get a little tired. So, anyways, last tool for Digital Dojo tonight, I have two things here. They're pretty cool. First is from Helge Klein Tools for IT Pros, and it's a program called SetAckle Studio. Now, this is for people who administer Windows networks of size. It's a free program. They made it freeware because I don't think they're going to be supporting it much anymore. It is an Explorer-like tree view that lets you view an entire Windows permission system. It shows files, folders, registry keys, services, printers, network shares, and WMI objects. The owner is either a D-ACLE or S-ACLE, and it's displayed for the current object. So it's a full replacement for the Windows ACLE editor, multi-level undo. If you set it as an admin, you can tell it to go set permissions correctly no matter what they currently are, which anybody who's dealt with Windows permissions knows that can be a nightmare. And it's a very nice tool for getting Windows permissions set correctly. So if anyone else has to deal with this shit like I do, very nice tool, very handy to have.
Oh, too bad Sard's not around.
Yeah, he'd probably go gaga for this thing, actually. Because it's a, you know, very intuitive set of ACLE. It's a very nice tool for setting ACLs. And it has undo, which is huge. So, anyways, so that's a nice tool. And then the last thing I have is actually a Google spreadsheet that was shared that a couple of Reddit communities have been working on. And anybody who's had to deal with ransomware, you should know that several of the ransomware kits have had decryptors written for them. So this is a nice list of various ransomwares, what to look for to see if that's been there, or you know what to look for to identify the particular ransomware kit that might be on your machine, and whether or not a decryptor and some information about it has been written. So
that is super cool.
Yeah. So if you're dealing with an older Locky crypto wall, or any of the other common crypto ransomwares, and a decryptor's been written for it, the link is in this spreadsheet to if they have one, and they say they're going to be trying to keep it up to date.
So, and the decryptor is just an even better ransomware.
Damn it!
I have the fear, man. You know what I mean?
Well, I know, but if you're
if you're already fucked, you might as well try.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. So, but no, that's cool, man. I'm keeping that one.
Yeah, I'm going to be giving that to some people at work who I know have been having problems. So, if nothing else, hey, it's something. So, it's a nice collection of a list of what ransomware's out there. They've got info links for a lot of this stuff, how to look, what to look for to tell which variant you have, and if there's a decryptor for it. So, especially if they keep maintaining it, like the Reddit communities that put it together say they're going to do. Very nice tool. And that's all I've got for this evening. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. I'm still trying to convince Madman to start his political show.
That's going to be called Madman.
Do what?
What's your political show called?
It doesn't have a name because it doesn't exist yet. I still need to figure out how to actually operate the box, which I know isn't difficult. I just haven't even attempted.
Indeed. So not fake politics. There you go.
Not fake news. It's not fake news, we swear.
We may only cite it on the show, but we didn't generate any of it, I swear.
Hey, to be fair, I for years I've been posting every link we talk about on Decking in the show notes.
And anyone in this room who knows an hour before, if there's a dodgy link, Morps get called on it. Or if I think the news agency is a little bit shaky, we go looking for it elsewhere.
That's happened multiple times. So if it's fake news, it's not my fault.
Either way, man, I'm quite happy. As I said, I'm flying the ointment. That's what I am this year. You're never going to know if what I'm saying is real.
Well, it's, like that anyways. Anyways, so that's all I got. What was this? This was show 246. And anybody have anything before I hit the Pac-Man music?
Pretty good.
Truth bomb alert.
I see dead people.